Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. So let me introduce my guests who are with us this morning. Thrilled to have him here in the studio. Arvin Trujillo is here, Four Corners Economic Development. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Welcome back to KSJE. Good to have you here.
You bet.
And thank you for helping to get our other guest on the show today. I'm very thrilled to talk to the Vice President of the Navajo Nation. Myron Leiser is joining us from his offices in Window Rock. Mr. Vice President, welcome to KSJE. It's good to have you on with us this morning.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. It's good to be with you. Thank you.
Nice to have you with us. So thank you very much. And we will get started by talking a little bit about how important it is to have the Navajo Nation at the table for a lot of these things, Arvin Trujillo, that you and I have been talking about when you've been here, some of these major projects that you are working on. And I guess the one that comes to mind is this rail project.
Yes. You know, having the partnership through the Memorandum of Understanding that it has been signed and approved between San Juan County and Navajo Nation has been a real vehicle through which we've been able to advance this whole project. And again, the idea is to have that plan B in place when the power plants do transition. And so again, we're under a timeline, but we're moving forward. But it's important to understand that we wouldn't be this far without the Navajo Nation.
Right. I understand that, too. And Mr. Vice President, talk to me a little bit about the tribe's point in working with the San Juan County officials on some of these big projects. I think it would be a win-win, don't you, for the whole region if rail were to come to this part of the state?
Yes, I think so. You know, for several years and several administrations, at least two others before.
And he's gone.
Uh-oh.
Well, live radio, and that's what happens sometimes. We have lost the feed from Vice President Myron Leiser from Window Rock, and so we will watch to get him back. He was just talking about his internet before we started, Arvin Trujillo, wouldn't you know, Murphy's Law. But we will hope that he can come back, and I'll watch that. So in the meantime, you and I can talk a little bit about some of these things. And so with the rail project, talk to me a little bit about where we are. We have this, I'm a part of this, but I'm not. It's you, Foresad, and the county and the other entities here in the Navajo Nation have applied for this major grant and been awarded this major grant, and this is a big deal, right?
It is a real big deal. We recently had a discussion with the U.S. Department of Transportation. The vice president was a part of that phone call along with county officials, city officials. And what we were able to work through was how we would proceed in terms of putting an agreement together so that the money could be dispersed. But the exciting thing about this was as we spoke to U.S. Department of Transportation officials, they were very keen on seeing how they could assist us in making this not only, well, really transferring this from a planning project into an actual capital project, meaning they want to see this transform into a project where we actually design and construct this rail.
Right. And this is a big ticket project. I mean, rail isn't cheap.
It isn't
anywhere and at any time, right? It's always been expensive, but the possibilities, I guess, are also big ticket things too, right? If you have a rail line in, that opens up a lot of economic development opportunities, right? Because there are some projects that we don't even qualify for because we don't have access to a rail line.
Yes. And again, it's looking at how we bring this together. We've got a number of opportunities that arise as far as getting new industries into this area, looking at expanding existing industries in this area. And more importantly, one of the big things, and we've talked about this before, Scott, is looking at those new industries, how can we utilize some of the resources that we have here in the region, like natural gas? How do we transform that into some type of value-added product? Looking at Nappy, they have a lot of produce there. How can we begin to transform that produce into value-added product that could be basically shipped out of this region to different parts of the country?
Very good. And I'm looking and I see that the Vice President has rejoined us. I apologize, Mr. Vice President, but I'm glad that you are back with us, and hopefully the connection is back, but hopefully you can hear me all right.
Yeah, I can hear you. And I thought this is, it happens from time to time, usually on the more important phone calls, which I consider this one of those, but it's also a good opportunity to speak on our great need for enhanced broadband and internet capability.
Well, there you go. I hear you. And that is also, I know, part of Arvin Trujillo's conversations with us about helping to improve broadband throughout the region. And maybe this is a case in point. And we know that we're using it a lot for things like this, for work. We know our students are using it for school. And so for the Navajo Nation, Mr. Vice President, I mean, broadband is a big need, right?
Yes, you know, I almost want to take credit for it. I mean, it's a great plug. It's a great ploy to highlight our very need for it, especially during this pandemic. But, it's just one of those things that you're right. We do need to bring more capability, more capacity to the Navajo Nation. All our students are at home. They're learning from home. And a lot of our students don't have broadband. So deep in the farthest reaches, the most rural area of the Navajo Nation. So we're working with many people, partners to bring that, enhance that. And one by one, I think we'll solve our problem, but it's going to take time and obviously it can take a lot of money. But, you know, this is just one start of a project. Who's to say that we couldn't stick some fiber optic cable on the rail and then bring it down south here? So I think it's just one of a number of things. I think you got to think synergistically, you know. You start one project, what else can you add to it? I just heard Arvin talk about value added, and in any of our projects going forward, I think we really need to be strategic about that. Look at other things that we can attach to it or add to it. What's the serendipity of bringing rail to the area? So you're right, sir.
Very true. And we were talking about the rail project, and I'd like to ask you a bit more about the Navajo Nation's thoughts of getting involved with this. Obviously, you and the administration sees this and the council as an economic driver for jobs and opportunities for a big part of the reservation, at least in northwest New Mexico, maybe even northeast Arizona, right?
Yeah, you're right. You know, who's to say that once the rail gets started to that area, that it could bend around and come back through southeastern Utah to northeastern Arizona. So you're right. We need to really think strategically about it. And I'm sure, maybe Arvin has talked about it, but there's so much more that could come just because the rail's there. And so plastic pellet plant, you know, potentially. There's the water filtration project that the nation is working on with NTU, Navajo Technical University, and New Mexico Tech out of Socorro. So a water storage project. I'm sure Arvin was chomping at the bit to kind of mention these. And then there's just several other, potential projects that we could work on. Again, the end goal, the end game here is to bring jobs and to bring new industry to the area.
And jobs really are an important thing, and I know you're watching, as we all are, as the power plants transition into maybe another ownership or other uses, the coal mines and things along that line, and those things provide a lot of big-paying, high-paying jobs for members of the Navajo Nation and support a lot of families on the Navajo Nation. And how do you replace those, I guess, is the big question that I know you, Mr. Vice President, and a lot of folks on the reservation talk about and work on all the time, right?
That's right. President Nez had made me the chair of our Economic Recovery Work Group. And this is designed initially to see what our business environment, our business landscape looked like coming out of COVID, this pandemic. But we saw the need to not only look at the near term, but look at midterm and long term, and certainly fashion the vision for what we look like. This is a health crisis, Scott and Arvin. And another definition of crisis is opportunity. So certainly in this pandemic, there is a lot of opportunity out there. Companies are merging, being acquired, new emphasis are being started. All of a sudden, economies of scale have changed. And so maybe the nation did look at a project at one time in the past, but now because of our present situation and the environment and the pandemic, we have to relook at it. And we owe it to ourselves to leave no stone unturned. And so we are taking a look at projects that were previously looked at, but now again, because of the change and the emphasis now that's needed, we can fashion maybe a plan, a better plan forward. And there's one thing I learned being a businessman, Scott, is that the only thing that stays the same in business is change.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And that's how you become a successful businessman, is understanding some of that, I would think. And so, but business and politics are sometimes a little different things. And so I would imagine it may be harder to get some things moving and changing in government maybe than it is in business. And does that sometimes get frustrating for you, Mr. Vice President?
Oh, man, Scott, are you reading my email?
No, sir.
Well, you're definitely right. Several layers and eight multi-agencies of oversight, and you have to get approvals at many layers, and there's just a lot to be said about government and business, and it's just one of those things. It tends to get frustrating, but as you study projects and as they become more feasible, the great need to recognize that you need the help of many, and I'm sure Arvin would be able to echo that. And I think that's certainly why he's so excited, and San Juan County is excited, and all in the Four Corners area are excited about this collaboration. Now the nation partnering with San Juan County, and the city of Farmington and Navajo, I guess, Napi area, and all those that see the vision, they are supportive of it. When we, last year, when President Nez and I signed that MOU, there was like almost 50 people in the room, and this was before COVID, right? And so there was a lot of energy, there was a lot of optimism, and I think people are just praying about what could be. And so I think this collaboration is going to continue to be facilitated and massaged. What does it look like? The Navajo Nation does see the great need to be a prime partner in this, to help fashion the end product. And so that certainly unfolds. I was taught also as a businessman, Scott and Arvin, to write your business plan in pencil, because you're going to erase it and you're going to change it up as you go on. And so it's a good way of illustrating, again, that change in business. Don't always put things made in concrete, right? Because the environment will change, things will shift, and priorities and emphases will be changing along with that. And so you have to be flexible, but adhere to the great principles that will keep you successful.
Very true. Well, and that's good advice. Just look at this past year to see how things have changed and how what we thought was normal is a little bit not so normal anymore. And we look forward to getting back to those maybe more normal times, though, in the future. Mr. Vice President, I know you have to leave us here in a few minutes. You have some other commitments this morning. So, again, I appreciate your time. But I wanted to ask you again before you go. I know the COVID-19 pandemic has certainly hit the Navajo Nation hard at the beginning. The numbers are on the rise again, as they are even off the reservation. And so I know you've got health orders in place and some curfews in place, and it's got to be very important that everyone follows those to try to get a handle and to flatten that curve again, right?
Yes, you're so right. And you're right. We all are experiencing, it seems like, all across our continent here, North America and the United States, enhanced numbers. Everybody seems to be spiking. I'm sure people our health professionals are trying to pinpoint the exact reason, but we are in the midst of the flu season, the cold and flu season. So they were expecting a surge, didn't know what it would look like. And certainly it's playing out that way. Here on the Navajo Nation, we are experiencing some surges there. Maybe about 3-4 weeks ago, we had a few days where we had zero new cases. And we're certainly praying to get back to those times. But in this year, I think total people that have succumbed and passed on and left this world is nearing 900. And so you know, as you would agree, Scott, one is too many, and to have that many on the Navajo Nation. Just the fact that we have lack of water and power to a lot of homes on the nation, that it was really magnified our problems here. And so we continue to leave no stone unturned. We'll look to bring water, and we'll work with partners. We'll work and try to facilitate bringing water to the area. But during this COVID pandemic, last parting word from the Vice President here and Jonathan Nez, our President of the Navajo Nation, continue to wear masks, right? And you're in public settings. Continue to maintain social distancing. Wash your hands frequently. Hand sanitizer when water and soap's not available. Cleaning common surfaces always and frequently. Again, you need to just be vigilant, ever vigilant. And then limiting the large crowds, right? And that's where we get, I think it's just human nature to want to congregate, want to get in touch with family again, right? Especially coming up with Thanksgiving here to Christmas and the holidays, New Year's. We're really gonna have to press down on those messages that's out there. And I think that's about the best way to handle the rise and the surge in COVID cases, Scott. And Arvin, is to put out timely messages and just keep hammering home to for people to be safe. And especially during the holiday season, let's just continue to, and I guess to sacrifice, right? And the greatest expression of love in this time is to wear a mask, because you're protecting others and others are protecting you. And so, you know, I know it's been a heated topic, but it's proven. Wear your mask in public, and we'll continue to be vigilant and ever safe. And prayers for the Navajo Nation and for surrounding areas. The nation, President Nez and I are always lifting up. So I want to thank you for the time, Scott, and Arvin, thank you for the invitation. And yes, by all means, we can do this more often in the future. I think it's great. Collaboration, and then also timely updates would be good.
Very good. Well, we will look forward to maybe speaking with you again, Mr. Vice President, and we appreciate your time. And our thoughts are with the people of the Navajo Nation, of course. And stay safe, everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you.
Go now.
You're welcome. That is Vice President Myron Leiser from the Navajo Nation joining us. And Arvin, again, Trujillo from Four Corners Economic Development. Thank you for setting that up and having the Vice President join us. But again, he seems to be a partner in some of these projects that you were, and I have been talking about, right?
Well, you know, the nation is a vital part as to what we need to get done, because if you look at the where our county is situated, any type of transportation, any type of infrastructure that we want to try to promote, we have to go through the Navajo Nation. And so, again, we're not an island unto ourselves, but
and I think you mean
these
that,
partners.
You mean that literally and figuratively, too, don't you? That,
exactly.
I mean, really, if you're going to put any kind of transportation route into this corner of the state, you're probably going to need some rights of way across the reservation.
Yes. And so, again, looking at that, the Vice President has been a real champion. He noted that he's a businessman from his previous career. I mean, he looks at it from that aspect and really seeing what can we do. We know some changes are coming down the pike. And many of us could sit back and kind of look at each other and say, woe is us. These things are happening to us and kind of look at it very pessimistically. But we've taken the other approach by saying, okay, as he indicated, yes, there are crises, but there are also opportunities that arise as a result of that. And so that's what we're looking for right now, is what are those opportunities? How do we utilize those opportunities to benefit this general region? Whether you're on the reservation or off the reservation, we can all benefit from having this strong partnership and really making some of these projects come to fruition.
Right, exactly. And you've mentioned before how much of a big economic engine the Navajo Nation is, or even could be, if its potential was realized, right? I mean, you've got all these people, you've got the power and the strength of the Navajo Nation government. They have a lot of funding at some points in time, and they're looking for economic projects for their citizens, jobs, as the Vice President mentioned, and things like that. I mean, they shouldn't be overlooked.
No, and again, what we're focused on right now is how do we generate new opportunities and new types of jobs to come into the region. You know, the energy sector has been a real blessing to this area because not only did it bring revenue and bring tax opportunities and jobs into the region, but it also helped build a middle class for those Navajos that were fortunate to become a part of the energy sector. And, you know, not only just as miners or laborers or that, but you had accountants, you had HR people, people who developed their skills and their levels of professional levels as they move forward. So, again, there's a lot of benefits, but now we're seeing that transitioning happen. How do we now develop ourselves in a way so that we can look at new opportunities coming down the road? And there are a tremendous amount. I mean, we just talked about the internet.
Right. Broadband, and some of that stuff. Right.
But again, we all need to remember that doesn't happen by itself. Once we do get the fiber optics up, or once we do get the microwave dishes in place, and once we do get there's got to be people who take care of that. There's got to be people who monitor that.
Right.
And so, again, there's, again, opportunities for jobs and opportunities for our professional young people to come back and be a part of this community. And so, again, those are things that we need to really take a look at.
Right. Well, if this year has taught us anything, it's that in many cases we can work from almost anywhere. If you have that infrastructure, right, to be able to do your job, you don't have to commute to an office tower in some big overcrowded city and elbow yourself with everybody else on the subway to go to your little cubicle and do your job. Maybe you could do it at the dining room table.
Exactly.
At a place where you've got blue skies and great landscapes and a reason to be in that part of the world.
And again, looking at it even from the other standpoint, we're talking about youth and preparing that. There are a number of people out there who are getting ready to retire. Living in Denver or living in Washington, D.C. or Los Angeles, and they have a yearning to come back. This is home to them. If we can build the necessary infrastructure and get things in place, think of the potential of getting those people back home and utilizing their experience, utilizing their skills. It may not be full time, but it may be part time, or it may be them getting involved in the communities. But there's another knowledge base there that we could attract back home here, both tribal and non-tribal people who want to come back. And that, you know, there's that feeling right now that people don't want to really live in cities anymore. They want to come back to some rural settings. You know, what better place than here?
Right. Very true. Well, we've got a lot of open space, of elbow room. If you're used to getting jostled around on a bus or a subway or what have you, try this out for size. But I agree with you. We just have a couple of minutes remaining this morning, Arvin Trujillo. So what's next with the rail project, I guess, for one question to you? We've talked about this big grant, and so that's a planning grant, is it not? And so that work is underway, or will we get started soon?
Well, what we're doing right now is we're working out an agreement with the federal government on how this funding will be dispersed. And then once we get that in place, we're anticipating the first quarter of next year to really start moving forward with this planning effort and getting the information together. And one of the big things we want to really focus on is, where's the route? What route should we be looking at? And as we begin to develop that and get clarity on that, then these other pieces start falling into place. The necessary environmental clearances that have to take place, the right-of-way aspects that are going to have to take place, the different agreements that have to be done, our communication with local communities, and also really educating communities on how they can take advantage of this new infrastructure coming through their area, and how they can use this rail to possibly build their communities, open opportunities up to bring new industries or new jobs to their, whether it's the community or a chapter.
Right.
You know, there are a million different aspects of how this is going to come together.
So the route we know is...
The piece is planning.
I got you. And so the route we know is kind of something between the I-40 corridor and northwest New Mexico, and that's about as specific as we have at the moment. There have been talk about maybe following 371 in some ways, or maybe 491 in some ways, but it's all a geographical engineering study to figure out which way because it gets a little mountainous and hilly on some parts of that route. So figure out what's the best route to get it from north to south. But really, it's still kind of up in the air until you do put pencil to paper, as the vice president would say,
exactly,
if he has to erase it and change it to figure this out, right?
Yes. And the big piece, too, that adds to our efforts to get this done is through the Bill Grant, we'll be working specifically with the Federal Railroad Administration within the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Okay.
So they're going to be there to help assist us as we begin to do this. What I'm looking at is them helping us identify different experts that could help us with the alignment, the route. What do we need to take into consideration? Because a lot of this comes down to cost.
Right.
And what's the most cost-effective way to do this? And how can we then market this idea? Because we're not looking at this being a government-funded
Well, camping, right? They wouldn't fund it. It's too expensive.
It's too expensive. But how do we get investors to come in to take on this project? And then how do we then build the necessary infrastructure around the railroad so that we can begin to diversify our economy here in San Juan County?
Right. And as the vice president said, you know, I guess maybe with room to grow in the future too, I suppose, right? Even if it's planning to end in the Farmington area and wherever that is, again, we don't know. Maybe it's on the bluffs, maybe it's down here, who knows? But maybe to add on to it in the future and send it over into Utah, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we're the four corners right now. So developing this aspect will open up opportunities in Northeast Arizona, Southeast Utah, and more importantly, even Southwest Colorado. There's a tremendous amount of opportunity there. And if we have a transloading piece here, we have rail going out, think of those opportunities that could also happen in these other states that would help the development of really pushing forward our overall economic diversity here in the Four Corners region.
Right, and we don't see it very often here, but getting it to that I-40 rail corridor is really the key, because that is a major east-west transport, and once you hook up to that, you can really get goods shipped to or from almost anywhere, right? Once you get down to that.
I mean, you think about it, you get up to the I-40 corridor, that takes you to California, which then you can go north and south up along the coast. Going east, you hit Albuquerque. At that point, you can go east, and I mean, you can go north and south, Durango, down to El Paso. El Paso opens opportunities in Mexico.
Right.
And so again, you
can see. Or you
can
keep going east, or you get to the East Coast from there, right?
I mean,
and north to Denver and beyond. So
exactly.
That's the point, though, is that these routes, and they're heavily used still, right? Even though rail is considered maybe older technology, it's still a pretty efficient way of moving heavy stuff and lots of stuff long distances.
Exactly. And we've got a lot of skilled capabilities here in the region. And again, what I look at is as we begin to open those opportunities up, you know, we do a really good job in this region of educating our young people. But we don't have jobs here to hold them here. You know, think about the possibilities of being able to not only educate our young, but then have them come back and they have good paying jobs to raise their families. But now, not only are they here, but they begin to participate in the overall community fabric here.
Right.
Both tribal and non-tribal.
Sure. Well, and I'm remembering some of the big companies that have been here in the past, and some of the, they fabricate really big, I'm remembering the turbine, I think they did reconditioning of turbines and things like that. Even some of the oil field or gas fields, equipment, you know, refurbishing and things like that. But that's heavy metallic metal stuff, right? And it costs a fortune to truck it out of here. If you could put it on a rail car, that may cut your transportation costs down. I don't know by how much, but it's got to be cheaper.
You look at that. You look at the ass. Everybody eats.
No kidding.
You
look at me. That's right.
But look at the opportunities in the food industry.
Sure.
We've got Nappy. But look at up and down the river, the number of fallow farms that we have right now. If we have rail, you know, the opportunity for farmers to come together in co-ops and do and revitalize their farms, because now they have a market to ship their produce out on.
Right.
And we were just in a meeting, a focus group meeting in concerning agriculture. And we were talking to the general manager or the CEO for Nappy. And he brought experts in to look at different areas. And those experts were saying they were amazed. They looked at the soil at first, but they're amazed at the number of types of produce that could be grown here. The elevation is such, the temperatures are such, that they really begin to enhance the type of produce that you can grow in this region. And so if we can look at that and look at the knowledge base, think of some of the specialty foods we may be able to do and revitalize some of the farming
right
along the rivers that we have here.
Sure. Well, and again, NAPI's done a great job already of doing that in large quantities, right? And
yeah,
they've got room to grow.
They got room to grow.
And I guess the next step would be, why not a processing plant or something else, and maybe jar it, can it, make
exactly
it into whatever right here, and then ship all that out.
Exactly.
In a way as well. So there's lots of opportunities,
it sounds like. Opportunities, again.
Well, keep coming back, Arvin, to keep us up to speed, will you?
But right now, again, things are moving forward with the Bill Grant. We're really excited about that. First of next year, we'll start working on this whole process. And I think the public will start seeing more, because one of the aspects of that is to develop a communications team. And we'll be going out to the communities, talking to folks about what this is all about, what's happening, so that people are informed. And they have the right information as to what we're doing, where are we at, what are we planning. And there'll be opportunities where I know that we'll be looking to the public for input
sure
on different things as we move forward on this project.
Well, it's a lot of important decisions, and rail can really be a big driver, as we know. Just look north of us and why we have a city of Durango and not a city of, what is it, Animas? Whatever it was. Now I've missed it. But anyway, but there was, you know, there was a big competition for the end of that rail line.
Yes.
And it ended up being in Durango and not north at Animas City.
Right.
Is the other community, which is why we don't have an Animas City anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, Arvin, thanks for coming in this morning.
Scott, thank you very much.
And thank you for getting the vice president to join us as well. That was
sure thing
a treat. So thank you very much. Arvin Trujillo, the CEO of Four Corners Economic Development, my guest here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.